Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Russia continues to pound Syria with airstrikes. President Putin says the attacks, which started last Wednesday, are intended to help his ally in the Middle East, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, fight ISIS. American officials say Russia is actually targeting the American-supported rebels who are trying to topple President Assad's regime. Over the weekend, Assad made his first public comments. He said Russia had to step in because the U.S.-led coalition has failed to defeat ISIS. And now Assad told Iranian state television there is a new coalition.
This coalition has to succeed. Otherwise, we will witness the destruction of the entire region. We are sure this coalition will be successful. If the countries supporting terrorism take part sincerely in the fight against terrorism, or at least stop supporting terrorist organizations, we will see our expected results in practice.
And the new coalition, he says, is Russia, Syria, Iran, and Iraq. Andrew Bezovich is a former Army colonel who served in Vietnam, a retired professor of international relations at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies. We've spoken to him before. His son Andrew served in the Army and was killed in Iraq in 2007. Professor Bezovich, welcome back, of course, but your thoughts on this. Last week, a Russian official gave the U.S. an hour's notice to get out of Syrian airspace because Russia was about to start airstrikes. Your reaction?
Well, I think that the rhetoric, the Russian rhetoric claiming to be committed to restoring order to the region is absurd. Their aims are more limited. Their capacity for action is more limited. And I think what they're intent on doing is to prevent the overthrow of the Assad regime. All the evidence we have suggests that militarily their effort is directed not against ISIS, but against the rebel forces in Syria that are trying to overthrow Assad.
Well, now hold on, because you say that you think their claim of trying to restore, you know, peace to the region is not true. Can they not believe that by keeping Assad in power, that might have that effect?
They could believe that maintaining the regime would offer one step toward restoring order in the region. But in and of itself, that's not going to be a decisive step. I mean, the magnitude of the disorder is so great. The contending parties at this point, so numerous, and the coalition so complex in terms of who's fighting together and for what, that it really almost boggles the mind. Now, so much of our attention, you know, as a legacy of the Cold War, there still is a certain animus towards Russia that I think is particularly prevalent in policymaking circles. But the truth is that the real nexus of the problem or the origins of the problem are far more due to the recklessness of the United States than to this sort of 11th hour sticking his nose in on the part of Vladimir Putin.
How so?
Well, we were the ones in the wake of 9/11 who decided that large-scale military intervention in the Persian Gulf would have the effect of eliminating the forces that support anti-Western, anti-American terrorism, and that as a result of our military action, not simply would order be preserved, but a better order would be created. And we have to recall the vision of the George W. Bush administration after 9/11 that our military efforts were going to bring freedom. I mean, the fact that this thing was called Operation Iraqi Freedom was not incidental. So we triggered a crisis that we ourselves, the most powerful force in the world, and by any measure, that we ourselves are incapable of now controlling. So I don't mean to suggest that somehow Vladimir Putin is a good guy or he should be left off the hook, but his sins, frankly, are venial ours are mortal.
Well, you know, there are people who would say that's not what triggered it. What triggered it is that the U.S. backed many of the uprisings during the Arab Springs in different countries. They thought that that was the Obama administration and its supporters, and you're nodding, thought that those uprisings were a good thing. We have to remember that what's happening in Syria started as an uprising, a citizens' uprising against Assad, and then devolved from there when he attacked his own people. And those same people criticized President Obama for not, for first of all, backing the Arab Spring and then not reacting sooner in Syria to support the uprising.
I think that's a good sort of comeback at me. but it is, because my explanation was guilty of the great sin of oversimplification. But in a sense, yours is as well.
Yes.
Because if we really want to unpack this situation, there is more than enough blame to go around. I mean, the dismantlement of the Ottoman Empire at the end of World War I by European imperialists, a story about which most Americans know nothing. Mm. But that's where this thing called the modern Middle East came from. That was a horrendous mistake based on arrogance that planted seeds that still are today coming to maturity. Without trying, the creation of the State of Israel, wherever one may be on whether or not there should or should not be a State of Israel, but certainly that had a further destabilizing effect that continues to be a source of trouble. So the real point here, I think, is that when you consider the immensity of the historical forces that have produced this, it's not simply that Vladimir Putin's couple of dozen of attack aircraft are not going to somehow sort things out. But sadly, we ourselves, as the most powerful military force in the world, are unable to sort it out.
Well, some history there. But now, so what happens now? I mean, there are voices on both sides. And one is, you know, Thomas Friedman, for instance, saying, let Russia have Syria. It's going to be a quagmire. Let them have that. But, you know, my question is it good for the U.S. if there's quagmires?
No, it's not good for the U.S. It's not good for anybody. You know, and if I could say here's the 3-point plan that's going to bring peace to the Middle East, I'd be rich and famous. There is no such plan. I don't think there is any conceivable such plan. So the immediate issue, I think, is actually the moral one, because it is in the realm of moral responsibility that action is possible. And what does that mean? That means that however we want to apportion the blame, there are hundreds of thousands and indeed millions of people who have been displaced, who are suffering, whose lives are in danger. And of course, there will always be a certain number of voices who say, oh, good, let's send in the U.S. Marines because that'll fix things. I don't believe that. It seems to me that the moral responsibility is to find practical ways to address the plight of those who are suffering, regardless of who has caused the suffering in the first place.
Is one of the solutions, and many people who are very much against Assad, you don't have to be a Russian or a president, as in Putin, to be saying this. Others are now saying, you know what, maybe the only solution is to back Assad to bring some stability and turn all forces on ISIS, again, you know, fight against ISIS and keep him in.
I think there's a good argument for setting priorities here. And in that sense, I would prioritize the threat posed by ISIS above the threat posed by Assad. Mm-hmm. But again, my real point would be where we can make a difference is in doing something to assist the people who have suffered so grievously as a consequence of this horrendous historical tragedy.
Well, and by that you mean just giving the refugees a home first, or what?
We are the land of the free and the home of the brave. Okay. Most of us came here. Our grandparents came here, whatever, as immigrants. I think the current position of the administration is let in 10,000 Syrians next year.
Yeah.
Well, that's inadequate.
All right. You say focus on that first. Andrew Bacevich, retired professor of international relations at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies. We will continue to take a look this week at what to do in Syria. But meanwhile, Professor Bacevich says do something here first. Thank you, as always.
Thanks a lot.